And so let's go to Genesis chapter 43. And we're going to start with verse 30. Genesis chapter 43 and verse 30. Joseph hurried out, for his compassion grew warm for his brother Benjamin, and he sought a place to weep. He entered his chamber and wept there. Then he washed his face and came out. And controlling himself, he said, "Serve the food." Because he's supposed to act really official here, right? They served him by himself and then by themselves, and then the Egyptians who ate with them by themselves, because the Egyptians could not eat with the Hebrews, for that is an abomination to the Egyptians. And they sat before him, the firstborn according to the birthright of the youngest, according to his youth, right? Then he looked at one another in amazement. Why? Because they were all set up in their order of their family, and it's like, how did this guy know this? Okay, from young to old, Benjamin being the youngest. Portions were taken to them from Joseph's table. So they took all the food off the king's table, so to speak, or the head guy's table, to give to them, which is a very big honor right there. They're eating the same food. So big honor were that. But then when it says this, Benjamin's portion was five times as much as any of them. And they drank and were merry with Joseph, okay? So today I'd like to talk to you about what struck me from this particular verse. And it's the very first part of it in verse 30. It says that Joseph's compassion grew warm for his brother. And how did he respond to that compassion? It says he sought a place to weep. He looked for a place to let it all go. Just cry your eyes out. Where he could cry. And he entered the chamber and wept there. So the very first reaction that Joseph had to his brother that he's never seen was to cry, was to weep. And so today's message is about weeping, and it's called The Tears of Joseph. There's something very powerful about weeping, and something very powerful about crying, and we need to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit to weep when we need to, when it needs to be a part of our life, and not stop it because we think culturally it's wrong. Sometimes we need to make sure that you have got a safe place to let really cry. I've been noticing this year that I've noticed with people, it's not just one or two people. I feel like I've met several people who have not allowed themselves to properly grieve and work through the grief. And so they are sitting on trauma and loss, and they haven't done like Joseph did. They haven't made a safe room for them to just be that way. The number one manifestation of the Holy Spirit's presence is tears. Somebody somewhere along the line studied churches and people, and they came to that conclusion. I totally agree. And we tend to always associate tears with one kind of emotion. And what usually is that tear? Usually that emotion is. It's usually grief or sadness. Now, God, I got to say it like, God weeps, right? God grieves. Jesus wept. Jesus wept over Jerusalem. And Jesus wept over Lazarus dying, his best friend. It was one of his buddies. He grieved. He gave himself permission to grieve. Sometimes in our society, we don't allow ourselves to grieve like we need to grieve. Therefore, we don't get the comfort that God has for us. That's just what it is. Joseph needed a safe place to weep privately. This is another aspect that needs to happen. There are times when God wants us to weep, but the tears are not meant to be seen by anyone else other than God. Can somebody say amen to that? We need to have a place to cry, and it's not for anybody else to see. Now, we're going to see later that he did weep publicly. And so there are going to be tears that need to be shed publicly, and you shouldn't worry about it. That's the next thing I want to talk about. But I want you to see here that Joseph's response to being reunited with his brother was tears. Now, normally you would think that would be really something you'd want to jump for joy. Like, this is my brother. I'm happy. I'm excited. So it's possible that I can't say for sure, right? He might have been rejoicing. He's happy, but then he's not happy, right? So we can't always say that the tears come from one particular emotion. How many of you know that God has made us a very multifaceted type person? Like when you say the color red in the Lord, red could be that, or it could be that, or it could be what Ronnie, they're all different shades, right? And that's the way the Lord is with us. Don't get caught into that trap either. Okay? So we weep when hope is fulfilled. Because the moment that Joseph heard that he had a brother and he didn't get to see him, that's hope. I hope to see my brother. I hope to see my brother. I want to see my brother. I haven't seen my brother. Now I see my brother. But he couldn't, because of the situation, release it. All right, let's do the second scripture. I feel like I hope you got something from that first one. Now let's go to the second example of Joseph weeping. Genesis chapter 46, verse 29. So turn on that. And Genesis 46, verse 29. Joseph prepared his chariot, verse 29, and went up to meet Israel, his father, in Goshen. He presented himself to his father, fell on his neck, just right, and wept on his neck a good while. He wept on his neck a good while. That was his reaction to seeing his dad after all those years. All those years. Sometimes we need a good while to cry. And we need to give ourselves, again, the opportunity to just let it go. And sometimes the first reaction that we have to weeping is to want to stop it. Right? That's why we have tissue boxes here. If you want to cry, keep crying. Just keep crying. Just keep crying. The presence of the Lord is a great place to cry. And if it's a good while, that's all right. Just go ahead and cry. We love you, and we're not judging you, because we know that we all need it. So how many of you would like to cry because you get something restored that you've never seen or thought was lost, you'd never get it back? How about that? That's all right. All right, let's go on to the next one. Genesis chapter 49, verse 33. This is the one that we're most familiar with, this kind of weeping. Genesis 49, 33. Jacob finished commanding his sons. He drew up his feet into the bed, breathed his last, and gathered to his people. Then Joseph fell on his father's face. So he didn't fall on his neck this time. He fell on his face because he was laying down, probably. Right? He was in the bed. He fell on his face, and he wept over and kissed him. So this weeping included kisses. So that, to me, tears of love, right? Smooches. And I think this is interesting. There's some prophetic aspects to this part of the thing, but I'm not going to hit them really hard. But tears and kisses. There are going to be times when we will no longer see Jesus, obviously, or see people face to face. And they're going to go. This is the one we're most familiar with. And when we lose a family member, a father, a mother, a husband or wife, or a brother or sister that we were very close with, and Joseph expressed that. And they watch this. The tears that Joseph had for his father were imparted to the Egyptians. And it says that they wept for him 70 days in this passage. 70 days of weeping. How you do that, they're not Americans. How you know that? That's not America. For someone to take that kind of time just to cry. So I want to confront us with some of these things, because here's what happened. His heart for his father, and I believe there's a prophetic significance here, his heart for his father was imparted to a nation. His heart for his father was imparted to a Gentile nation. Jesus imparted Joseph is Jesus. Jesus imparted the heart for his father to an entire nation where they would weep for 70 days. 70 is like fullness times 10. That's a big deal. He tenderized their hearts. And I believe that Jesus is doing that and has that potential. And he's done it, actually, in the earth, where he would tenderize the hearts of a whole people. That's awesome. That's the power of the gospel and the word of God. Joseph, one man, so impacted a nation that they cried for 70 days. Changed a nation. Would to God that he would do that here. To give us the ability to cry over something like that. For the Father? Because Israel represents the people of God, doesn't it? It's the people of God. So I believe that there's the tears that we experience over losing a very valuable person to us. But it also has a prophetic significance. Genesis chapter 50, verse 15. Let's do the last one. When Joseph's brothers saw that their father was dead, they said, "It may be that Joseph will hate us and pay us back for all the evil that we did to him." Hey. They were thinking, hey, Joseph's going to get us back now for all that stuff that we've done to him, right? So what do? They make up something. They lie to him, and they send a letter or a message to him. Please, your father gave this command before he died. They're appealing to the authority of, you know, oh, I know you really love Jacob. You probably hate us. So, but your father did mention, please forgive their transgression of your brothers and their sin because they did evil to you. Like I said, there's a lot of prophetic significance to this. And now please forgive the transgression of your servants. And then Joseph wept when they spoke to him. Four times in one story. The Holy Spirit wanted you to see that Joseph wept. Four times. No other place in the Bible has this. Zero. Here's the prophetic significance in the broader picture. And I'm not making this the point of my message as much. But remember, our Father said for you to forgive them. Now, will you do it? Jesus, when he was died, he was killed by his brothers. His tribe, his people. But then the Father said, but when he was raised from the dead, he delivered the message to the people of God and said, look, Father says to forgive. Be forgiven. Now I'm going to forgive you. There's that two-edged thing. You've been forgiven now. Now, Now act in forgiveness towards one another. What are these brothers now like? In the beginning of the story of Joseph, what is it? They were bold and arrogant and fearful and mean. Now they're humble, broken, caring. So what did Joseph say? He says, Joseph wept when they spoke to him. His brothers spoke to him. I believe that God wants us to learn how to weep when other brothers who have done wrong to us, you know, act like, please forgive me. We need to be touched. We need to learn to release that. Also, what did he say, though? Don't fear. He says, behold, we're your servants. Joseph said to them, and by the way, Joseph didn't, remember how the first three instances Joseph fell down and wept on his, actually two times, over his father? Now they fell down. They're the ones that fell down, humbled themselves, right? And then his brothers fell before him. And then they said, we're your servants. We're not just your brothers, we're your servants. And God wants us to have that attitude as we weep. It's working something in him, in us. And it's giving us a servant's heart. It's good. It's good to have a servant's heart as well as a brother's heart. Does that make sense? In every family of those days, they always had servants and brothers and family members. You were either a servant in the house or a brother or family member in the house. And there was usually a big dividing line between the two. But what the Lord is trying to say, you need to have both a family attitude towards each other in the body of Christ, but also have a servant attitude towards the body of Christ. Just lay it all down. So here's what he's saying. He says, am I in the place of God? As for you, you meant evil against me. But God meant it for good, to bring it about that many people should be kept alive as they are today. So what do we see here? This last instance of weeping, Joseph wept because of what God did in the situation. See, before then we had him weeping because of Jacob, you know, and because of his father dying, and weeping because he saw his brother, which was a painful thing, I think, but then being restored, kind of a mixture. But I believe in this last one, it's because look what the Lord has done in my brothers. Look what he's done. Look what he's done. The first time that he really saw that dream come to pass, because they did it of their own accord. They did it out of compassion. They did it out of love. God did something so powerful in the tribe. He brought all the tribes together. Finally, there was one unity in the tribes. And I don't want to just have you raise your hands, but if I said to you, raise your hand if you've been hurt by somebody in your body of Christ, right? How many times your brothers and sisters have heard you? Like, sure, yeah. Like, maybe more in church than outside the church, because they're close to you, right? So the key to forgiveness is to say to yourself, am I in the place of God? The answer to that question is always no. It's never yes. So you have to say, look, I am not in the place to judge you. The only choice I have is forgiveness, because I am not God. Let me say it again. The only choice that we have is to forgive, because we are not God. Anybody who does not forgive is acting like... That's heavy. That's intense. Sometimes we want to say, be nice and forgive them. No, don't treat yourself like... Sometimes we got to say, no, you're not God, so forgive them. There we go. In 1998, we took the trip to Poland. I met an African brother in Poland. I've never seen anybody do this. He was Nigerian. He was African. Every time he prayed, he was weeping. I mean, not just a little bit. It was coming out of his body everywhere. To me, it was a special manifestation of the Holy Spirit, because I've never seen anybody do this. It was like a sign. And he would just cry. I mean, every time we were with him. And it would just come out of his eyes, but I'd see it, sweat would start coming out of his body, and he would just start, water was coming out of everywhere. It was a sign. It was something that he had. I haven't talked to him since, but I would love to ask him. But I know if I took you there, and if he's still there, it'd be the same thing. But it was a sign. But I want to. Here's the final words of this message. Joseph said this in response to their coming down before him, and he wept all these times. Here's what he said: "Don't fear. I will provide for you and your little ones. I will provide." And he's comforted and spoke kindly to them. So here's the thing. Four examples of one person weeping in the Bible. We know that it covered areas that we're familiar with. But I believe also the Lord wants to challenge us with this kind of weeping. When good happens because of, look at all that God has done. And then look at the promise that finishes this. I will take care of you, provide for you, and not just for you, but for your generations beyond you. Amen? Amen. God is so good. So, Father, we just pray right now. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the place of tears in the people of God. Father, Romans 12 says that do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your minds. Father, we say, Lord, we don't want to be conformed to this world. We repent of that. And so, Lord, we're just saying, Lord, if you want us to cry, Lord, let us learn how to cry in your presence. Let us learn how to weep. Let us learn how to express the feeling and the depth. And Lord, let us also know more and more about how much you love us, that you weep over us. Lord, you care about us deeply. So, Lord, we just we pray for the gift of tears that Joseph had, that it would be given to us as well. That we would express that kind of heart for the blessings that God has given us. And we just give you all the praise in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. Okay.